For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bastion Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBastionBrigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 155. Damn those funky chiptune monkeys.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
Blue Onyx.
Tag.
And joining us on a very special episode of the Boston Bash Brigade is one half of one of our favorite up-and-coming chiptune artist band out there, Bright Primate. Please welcome James.
Woohoo! Hey guys, what's going on?
Hey! Hey, things are going pretty good. How about with you?
Doing well. I think this is a great time to be on this show because I got a whole bunch of awesome announcements and things coming up. So we're gonna have some stuff to talk about. Can we swear on here?
Yes.
We got some awesome shit to talk about.
So first of all, James, what first introduced you to the world of chiptune?
It's kind of a weird story. Like, all right, so Lydia is my vocal companion on Bright Primate. We were both in rock bands, doing like the whole indie rock scene. And, we had records out. We were like on the radio. We were doing big tours and stuff like that. And, we kept on having problems with band members like dropping out or just like, my bartending gig is really picking up, so I can't do this show on TV that you set up like over the course of a year. You know, that sort of stuff. Stupid band stuff. And we were both looking to go in sort of more of a, like an electronic direction. So I was looking into stuff like do you guys know Casio Core, like Casio Tone for the Painfully Alone, or any of these like really kind of twee, like do 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 music. but anyways, I was online. This is like 2006 or something like that. You guys know 8-Bit Collective, right? You've heard of this. I would assume.
I remember Sam Elegant talking about that on the at the show that we were all at.
Yeah, exactly. So 8-Bit Collective used to be like the one place online that you would go. It was just like, it was forums, they had like these charts so you could submit like a new song every week and whatever. And it was just this awesome community of like basement trolls and like losers making video game music. And it was the best thing ever. So I stumbled across some tutorials and whatever, and I got into it, and I had no idea that Lydia would want to like sing over. I just thought like, okay, you know, I'm wasting time doing this thing. It's gonna be fun. And she heard some of the tracks and she was like, oh, this is the coolest stuff I've ever heard. Let's make a band. Let's like do all this stuff. And that's basically it.
When I was at the mini concert that we had over there at the Middle East there.
Oh yeah.
I was really impressed with her voice.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
She's got some power behind that, and she's such a small girl, too. I was like, whoa, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, she always gets the, when people meet her that are, like, fans, and then meet her, they're like, I thought you were, like, some big black woman or something.
Wow. That's not racist.
I was kind of trying to mix her, like, when I was trying to explain how, you know, her voice was, I was kind of, like, mixing her with, like, Celine Dion and Whitney Houston all in, like...
If they were good.
Yeah, when they were good, not on their cocaine fixes or whatever.
Nice.
Now, for those of you who haven't seen you live, when you perform, you've got all the music on your Game Boy.
Yeah, basically, all I'm doing is... It's all on Game Boy. It's all on a Game Boy cartridge, a custom Game Boy cartridge that's made by this crazy Eastern European guy, Johan Koltinsky. And he makes these programs for homebrew video game, like Game Boy cartridges that you just plug in. It's a tracker. It's got like samples in it, but also all the like hard synthesis of the actual sound chips of the Game Boy. So you're literally blasting out like tunes that you're writing in hex code on the Game Boy. It's a pretty nerdy pursuit, if you can imagine. But things have been going well with it. I mean, it's getting big. We've got like 3 different radio shows in Boston, like every week, pumping out stuff on like major airwaves and stuff. I don't know. It's kind of weird. This is stuff that, like, if I was talking about this in high school, I would get beat up. But now I'm like, you know, successful and whatever from it.
Now, what was the guy's name again that created this whole thing?
Johann Kaltinsky is the inventor of the program LSDJ. But there's a number of other ones. There's Oliver Wichtel.
Isn't that how they pronounce Jonathan Colton in Russia?
Yeah.
They may be the same guy. I don't know.
So, what were you saying about him? He, like, how many things has he created with this sort of software?
I mean, he just created LSDJ, which is one of the major Game Boy chiptune tools, I guess you'd say. But there's like tons of other programmers that have built similar things. Like there's Nanoloop, which is again for the Game Boy, which is another method of controlling the sound chips. And then pretty much every other video game system that you could imagine, like Sega Genesis, Master System, regular old Nintendo, Super Nintendo, they all have their own like musical tracker programs that you can get and write music specifically for that hardware.
That's fantastic. And when you're on live on stage, I gotta admit, it kind of looks like you are playing a video game while you're doing the whole music setup. I mean, are you doing that all live, or is there like a special button? Like, does like the up button have a special sound? Does the B button have a specific sound?
It can. I mean, depending on the software you're using, you can be doing anything from just like completely dicking off and just pressing start and having it play, which a lot of people do. Or there's other things you can like live. You can like control the specific loops that are going on, and you can like basically string songs together from little pieces of music material. Or there's other programs like this guy Pixel Hate, which is like a UK programmer and Game Boy musician, has one that literally every button that you press is a different note. So you're literally just like up there performing like button presses on stage.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
See, now I watched a couple of your videos that you guys had up on YouTube and stuff like that, or somebody else like recorded them and whatnot. And you have a pretty light show that you usually have behind you, but you didn't have it at the event that we were at.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, chiptune, you gotta have some sort of light show, because there's nothing lamer than watching a person on stage pressing buttons like a Game Boy controller. Yeah, we usually have this guy for the Boston 8-bit shows. We have this guy VJ Beyonder, or we'll import other visualists, a lot of which that actually just use kind of glitched out video game hardware themselves for the visuals display. So we'll bring them in as part of the show, because you know no one wants to look at nerdy guys pressing buttons on stage all night.
Sure they do.
Some people do.
I remember, what was it, 5 years ago. It was at a 5 or 4 years ago. I went and saw this guy from Japan who does chiptune music, named Omodaka.
Hell yeah!
I don't know if you ever heard of him or not.
Oh yeah, definitely. He was he actually just played at Blip Festival, which was in New York City. Has this gigantic it's like the major world concert for chiptune called Blip Festival every year. It looks like it may be on pause for a little while, but last year Omodaka was one of the headliners. And amazing performance. Insane performance.
Now, was he still dressed in like a Japanese priestess wearing that weird white mask?
Yes, he was. And he had all of these, did he bring all the TVs with him for your show? Where there was like vocal, like a avatar vocalist?
Yeah, the Enka singer.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that was freaky as hell. Amazing show, though.
Yeah,
you saw him here in Boston.
Yeah, he played on the Japan Night tour a couple times over at TT the Bears.
Oh, sweet.
And it is, when I was first overhearing the music, I think this was like what first got me into chiptune music was him. I thought he was like playing a video game or something live on stage, and then I come right on front and I see this guy dressed as a Japanese priestess pushing buttons. One hand having the Game Boy control, having the whole Game Boy, and then the other hand, he's got like this sort of like miniature synthesizer.
Yeah, that's a Chaos Pad KP3, which like basically translates his touch into musical notes and stuff like that, gestures and stuff.
Yeah, That's what it was. And he would have, like, the little TV screen with the anchor singer, and sometimes you'd pull out, like, props, like a weird, like, bottom half of a skeleton, and have her head on top of it, so it looks like he's dancing with her at the same time.
Yeah, I think he did the exact same stage show for Blipfest with a skeleton, with like the whole thing. Did he like hold up the microphone to the TV too?
I believe so, and I do believe he called up a couple of people to help out with it too. Like have some people come up and press a button at a specific time to switch the music.
Yep. Actually, for at Blip Festival, another chiptune musician, friend of mine, Dectonic, actually uses a lot of the same hardware that Wadaka does. And he was in the front, so it was kind of funny because he brought up like some like random person from the audience who happens to be like one of the best musicians for that piece of software like ever. So it was kind of cool. He did like this big long solo, and Wadaka was like, "What?"
That's amazing. With all these like chiptune things, with the whole nerdcore industry getting really out there into the mainstream, do you feel like it's being represented properly throughout this whole music industry of ours?
I mean, it's been really interesting and enjoyable for me because like when I got involved with it, it was still totally like a bedroom sort of thing. Like it was people in basements sharing these things with each other, kind of just for pleasure or for one-upping each other, or whatever. And we. Myself, Lydia, and an artist from Cape Cod named Chris Mahoney, his artist name is Active Knowledge, we started Boston 8-Bit, which was like a monthly chiptune showcase, which now it's kind of like every 3 months or whatever. The idea was to like bring these people from the basement who like would never have the idea of a show. And since we had like the connections from doing band stuff before, you know, getting them big shows at like the Middle East, at like these various venues. So it's been really interesting to see it transition from something that like no money was involved in to something where like there's huge sold out shows and like chiptune music is like the top of the Bandcamp charts all the time, and now there's like radio shows. So I mean, there's a lot more like cool kids involved with it now that are interested in, you know, doing things because they're hip and swell, and wearing rimless glasses is now like a fashion statement instead of just like a loser attribute. Right. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's been great. Like I'm just happy to be able to share this sort of music with people that are interested in it.
Right. I remember, I think it was almost a decade ago when it really first came into the mainstream, when Beck did this whole EP of like songs from his upcoming album at the time, Guerrero, and used all 8-bit Game Boy sounds.
Yeah, that's really cool too, because he actually those were two guys that were kind of active in like the 8-bit collective scene. It was one of the artists named that did the arrangements for Beck. His artist name is 8-bit. Self-explanatory. I forget what the other guy is, but yeah, they used to be on the forums all the time. Yeah, it was cool.
Excellent. So you just released your first full LP, Night Animals. Now, what would you say is the overall theme of this album?
It's kind of strange. Like, Night Animals, I don't know. It's kind of like a coming together of a lot of the styles that we've been trying to do over the past couple of years with Bright Primate. It's like a kind of a sci-fi, but like kind of fun, funky, spooky, scary album. I don't know if that even makes sense, but it's sort of like a concept album of our mind.
It's a take on like ghouls and ghosts in music form of sorts.
I would say ghouls and ghosts specifically, but kind of, yeah, it's that weird vibe. Like, there's that ever-present element of, like, nostalgia within chiptune, where people, like they love relating it to the, you know, the gaming experiences of their youth, or, like, you know, the adventures that we would have late at night with our friends over video games. Kind of, it all seeps into our subconscious, and this was kind of that. Like, chiptune, it's also very, the way the tones are done. A lot of the designers of these sound chips for the Japanese video game hardware, was, you know, they only included sounds that were kind of had this bright, fun element to it, because, you know, it was supposed to be like a toy, right? It wasn't supposed to be some like deep, dark Nintendo music. It was supposed to be like fun and happy. So all the sounds that you put out have this kind of like nostalgic tinge to them. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it, but do you get that from the music at all when you hear it?
A little bit. What about you, Blana Kintag? What do you get from it?
Well, what I get from it is, you know, when you hear that sound, I'm like, oh, that's something like I remember from playing Mortal Kombat or something along those lines, where it does have that weird little, you know, sound bit to it, and you're like, what the hell? And it's funny because, you know, to see it go and like kind of evolve through the years and stuff like that, going from 8-bit, 16, 32, and then all the way up, it's kind of crazy how they've been able to just actually just get to the point where we're just able to play straight out like music or whatnot. But to have that like set up from back then with just an 8-bit chip, that's just amazing. Just to get as many, you know, sounds and notes, and hell, to see Bright Primate actually get that whole music set up and do. I did like your whole setup that you did for the LMFAO Sexy and You Know It. That was a good version. That was a very nice version that you did.
Why, thank you. Yeah, it's funny, because a lot of what chiptune is about is, like, the inherent limitations of the software. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that you really can't do with it, because it is so low-bit, there's such a small amount of processing power that's behind it. So you have to, like, there's all these sounds that you have to use to, like, fake the ear into hearing certain things. And as a composer, like, that's really intriguing for me, to kind of, like, I don't know, it's like make a film using only like a pencil and a piece of paper or something like that. You have to really think outside of the box.
Well, I mean, what, Jack White? Remember that I was watching that movie or something?
Yeah,
or I can't remember off the top of my head what it is, but he goes.
It might get loud.
Yeah, it might get loud. He goes and he has like a block of wood, a string for a guitar or something like that, and he basically MacGyvered a guitar.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly the same DIY philosophy.
It's ridiculous what he was able to do.
So, yeah.
So yeah, that's just to be able to like move that amount of like music out of just an 8-bit chip is just impressive. So I kudos to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So, what are you planning next for Bright Primate? Like, what's next on the horizon?
Well, we just got some pretty big opportunities coming up. Actually, do you guys know about MAGFest? I'm assuming.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So we're one of the headliners at the chip show for MAGFest, which is going to be huge.
I do believe our friends from the World of Square might be attending that as well.
I believe so. I've heard rumors of that, although they haven't been announced yet. But there's still a couple of more musical acts that are going to be announced. So that's going to be huge. Have you guys been before or anything like that?
I haven't been there. Panlicious and I have talked about maybe going this coming year, but I'm not sure what the situation is currently with that.
Gotcha. No, it's epically massive. And you guys have been to, like, PAX and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because we do like the chiptune showcase at PAX all the time, and I think we're gonna have like 3 days of music for that we're setting up, we're performing, and then importing other people. But yeah, you know, business as usual, doing cool stuff.
Well, that's awesome. Now, before we go into the main show, usually what I like to do when I interview a musician, we do this thing. It's called Three Album Island.
Oh, cool.
And we basically ask, as a musician, it gets into maybe like a bit of your inspiration, what made you want to do it, or what made you want to get into this music. Sometimes not so. And it's the simple question, sometimes it'll have a complex answer of, if you were stuck on a deserted island, which three albums would you like to have on your person until your imminent rescue, and why?
Wow, no, that's really, really difficult for me, because I've been doing music for a really long time, and over like a ton of different genres. Like I went to school for conducting and classical music. I went to Berklee College of Music for like jazz guitar. I was in death metal bands. I do chiptune music. I composed video game music. So
I think Blue Onyx brain just broke when you said you did death metal music.
That's a lot of money too.
Well, death metal, actually, it's funny. When I was in high school, one of the bands that I was arranging for, this death metal band, they actually had Maynard from Tool do vocals on one of their tracks. So I was actually like hanging out with Maynard when I was like 13 in this like dungy studio. That's
wow,
kind of interesting. So yeah, they made a little bit of money.
Trying to do Dragon Force on that shit.
All right, so back to the question. Man, I would have to say one album that I listen to a lot, and I'm kind of embarrassed of it, is the first Gnarls Barkley album.
Why are you embarrassed about that?
That's Can't Sing Now's was a great album.
I think that is one of those respectable albums and stuff like that. Is that the one with Crazy on it?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's also just got tons of weird stuff going on all over the place.
Go Go Gadget Gospel. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I love the music video for that with the sock puppets.
Yeah, definitely. No, CeeLo Green is just crazy, and like I love Danger Mouse's production because he can just bring in styles from like all over the place.
I mean, look how he evolved the Black Keys. I mean, his work with them has been fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so let's see, number two. I may just be pulling these out of the air, so don't mind me. I have to include a chiptune one in this. Okay, all right, so Little Scale's Error Repeat, which is probably something you guys have never heard. Little Scale is an Australian musician, and he's absolutely fantastic, but he's one of those guys that, like, he's like a MacGyver of music, like, beyond comprehension for me. Like, he made this album with an old Genesis Mega Drive system, but this was before there was any MIDI implementation or anything for it. So he literally just like went into the hardware of it and like tweaked stuff around, soldered in his own controls, and then like made an album out of it. And that like blows my mind. And it sounds amazing too. I don't even know how that happens.
I can't even figure it out either. Did he use like a keyboard too with it, like plugged into it, or was it just the Genesis itself or the Mega Drive?
I mean, I could sort of explain it. He used this thing called Arduino. You guys familiar with Arduino at all?
Have you ever heard of it?
Oh. It's like all these DIY hacker types use it for like controlling hardware. But he basically just like wired his own breadboard of like wires and processors and things like that, and just built it himself. How do you do that? I don't even know.
I could possibly do that myself. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm a professional at that, but if you give me the schematic setups and stuff, because I did graduate a technical high school, so I do have some soldering skills, so if you ever need me to solder something or fix something, I can do that.
Thanks. Yeah, no, so you probably understand it more than I do.
I do understand the whole the brickboard setups that they have. It's a pain in the ass to work with because I've had to do multiple circuits on it, and it's just a mofo. It really does. It sucks, but I can understand like the whole setup. But with those guys, because they don't have anything else better to do, if they're sitting in their basements and they go and build like the multi board from hell that's like about as big as their wall, and they need to break it in six pieces just to get it out of their basement. I could only do so much with that. I might have an aneurysm just looking at it. But I mean, for the most part, yeah, I can understand that whole setup of you know, bringing in, you know, that those boards to just do that whole musical setup. I mean,
pinning everything out and just like.
That's one hell of a resistor and capacitor setup just to get some music out of it. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you even do that? But I don't know. He did it. That's amazing.
I mean, the boards and stuff like that. Like that's the other thing that that people don't understand about electronics boards and stuff. They are multi-layered. You don't understand. Like it goes down to like micrometers. Like everything is pushed together in one big layer. Like if you look at a board and it's like only like a centimeter like thick. That thing has like could have like 100 like boards right in the middle of it, and you wouldn't even notice. Because of that's how thin we've made technology now, but for back then it was harder back then. But you know, to do that with the music, to get the whole chiptune setup out of that. But for now, it's like, oh, we could just go and make that in 2 seconds, and some asshole will just paint it together and on a board, and it'll get all put together. they'll just toss it out there and just be like, perfect. Just throw a resistor in here, throw a capacitor there, throw a mini resistor right there, and then put on an out thing for that, and bam, you're all set. You got a music thing.
Well, so, aren't there automatic fabrication services now where you basically you just give them a schematic and they like print out circuits for you?
Oh yeah, they'll do it. It's amazing how they've been able to do that stuff. It's crazy. You don't have to go to your local Radio Shack and just be like, yeah, can I get this? We don't have that. Oh fuck, I'm gonna have to make that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because Radio Shack right now, it's basically just like a cell phone sales service. Could you imagine talking to those guys trying to get like specific resistors and capacitors and all these things, and they're like, what?
I'm like,
shit their pants when you ask them that.
I go there and I'm just like, can I just get an RCA to mini splitter? And they're like,
what the fuck is that? Yeah, no, I know, it's crazy.
Right off their shoulders, and I'm like, you're an asshole, get away from me. Just show me where your electronic compartments are, you stupid asshole. It's usually the back part of the setup now, and it's like right where their door is. So when they're like, they're talking in the background about their lunch or something, and you're like, I'm trying to look up resistors, and they're talking about their date the other night. I'm like, this sucks. People at Radio Shack suck. So more or less, all I can say is, if you're trying to look for something electronic, like, just go online.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, fortunately for me, there's this whole culture of people that are like very excited to do that. So I get to just kind of like, you know, I've got. I can like program hex and that sort of thing, so I can do the software side and like get sounds and music out of it. But for hardware stuff, I just let them do the thing. Whatever neat toys they come up with, I capitalize on.
You know what's beautiful about the way that it works for you is that you could just go like to somebody's house that's having a yard sale and just strike gold, because you're like, oh my god, a Nintendo! Oh my god, a Sega Genesis! Sweet deal, I can make so much music out of this! And they're gonna be like, what the hell?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it's kind of sad now, though. It used to be, like, you'd go on eBay or something like that, and you could get all of the hardware you needed for, like, you know, $5. You could get, like, a bin of Game Boys. But now, because there's so many people, like, that think it's a cool thing, it's becoming more and more rare. Like, now to get a Game Boy setup that, you know, your average chiptune musician would want to use, it's like $100 for all the modifications and all this stuff.
Jesus, yeah.
Which is really stupid, because it used to be something that literally you could do for free. Like, one of the guys in Boston 8-Bit, Owen, he used to literally just go to the dump and come out with like 100 Game Boys that he would like hack together, and it was perfect. And now you've got to get some, like, you've got to order it from this one guy, and it's got to do this.
But that's like with the musicians today. Like, you've got Skrillex, DJ Blend. There's that one guy that is kind of weird. He's wearing the Chucky mask. Remember the one I was showing you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, DJ Blend, like, he's kind of scary because he's like, I think he's like pre-bought everything. He just, so more or less, if you're good with numbers and somehow are able to play music or something like that, like, when you're younger, you're like, I know how to play piano, you know, like, do that stuff. He's able to just go and throw shit together, and or just, like, steal off of, like, a lot of other people's, like, soundtracks or whatnot, and make it his own. It's scary how people are able to do that. But with, like, Skrillex, like, there's that that song I love from him, Breaking a Sweat. There's actually, like, a that clip. What is it? Who is that again?
It's The Doors.
It's The Doors, the guy who was talking about, like, how people are going to just be able to take in, like, tapes or something along those lines that will be able to be specifically recorded and play when they need it for electronic music. So it's basically has come true for that factor. But yeah.
Definitely. And a lot of the software that you buy now, like, all of the major, I have a number of friends that do like professional, like EDM stuff, and they you can just buy sample packs of everyone's sounds. Like, all of the major sounds right now, you can just go out and, like, buy, like, oh, I want to get the Skrillex sample pack, and it's, like, 100 gigs of, like, everything he's ever done, all put together in a manner that you just, like, press a button, and it's like, oh, there's that effect, oh, there's that effect. It's kind of depressing.
Well, I mean, I can't remember what the other guy was talking about, but apparently he turned his iPad, he has his iPad into, like, another switcher setup, so he can mess with the waves and whatnot, so he actually designed the actual software himself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
I was like, holy crap, because of the fact that he could play, the, you know, the high-ends, low-outs, all this other stuff, and it was just impressive just to watch him. Like, I just was whipping around on YouTube and looked it up and found that when I was listening to some Deadmau5, and I was like, what the hell is this guy? Why is he here? Why is he in this list? And then I clicked on it and I found out, you know, I was like, okay, wow, this guy's actually a musician and he has his own program that, you know. But that's the other thing is because of the apps that we have now.
Oh, yeah.
For I mean, your iPads and tablets and whatever and whatnot, we're able to do so much more now with music that will blow everybody's mind. Especially
Definitely. I mean,
iPad right now, like iPad music development is where everything is. It's incredible. Like I got into when the iPad first came out, I was kind of an early adopter for it. I know a lot of people were early adopter for it. It's an Apple product. That's nothing special. But using it for music, like there was a bunch of really awesome apps that came out initially. And it was even to the point where I was writing for like a small magazine that was reviewing all the new iPad music apps. And the shit that's going on right now is just unreal. Like, the level of processing power that you're able to just, like, just screw with and get for, like, a dollar is insane. Like, a lot of the soundtrack stuff that I'm doing right now is all iPad. I'm getting paid, like, professional-level money. Your average studio for a game composer is, like, you know, $5,000, $6,000 for just, like, a cheap setup. I'm using my iPad for everything and getting the same, you know, dollar amounts that they do.
Wow! Holy shit!
Yeah, it's totally professional. I mean, and it's you're buying these apps for like $1 or $2, and it's fully it's as good as a Pro Tools setup. It's as good as anything else you might find.
That's fantastic. Now I know we did go off topic. You haven't chose your third album yet for this three album island thing.
Damn. All right. I'll say. Do you guys know Disaster Piece by any chance?
Yes.
All right. I know Disaster Piece is Rise of the Obsidian Interstellar. Is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yeah, I love the work he did for the Fez video game.
Oh yeah, that right, was so fantastic.
Number one was
Gnarls
Barkley.
Number two was
Little Skill.
Yep, and then number three was Disaster
Piece. Disaster Piece, yeah.
Excellent. All right, so are you ready to become part of this program for today?
I hope so. I'm here.
All right.
What are we doing?
No. Just sit in the background, take a nap. We just want to hear you snoring in the background. That'd be perfectly fine for the audience.
So, Teg and I went and saw this film, Looper, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis.
Or is it supposed to be Bruce Willis and Bruce Willis?
Yeah, it is Bruce Willis and Bruce Willis.
How did he handle that?
Bruce Willis didn't care, but Bruce Willis was quite disturbed.
It's so interesting, like, how deep they went into making this film. Like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt spent, like, 3 hours in the makeup chair just so he can look like a younger version of Bruce Willis. And he was listening to audio clips of Bruce Willis reading Joseph Gordon-Levitt's parts so he can try to practice the voice a little bit.
Wow.
So now
when you say 3 hours, that doesn't impress me because I've seen people that have been in like the chair for like 2 days. That's nothing.
Really?
Yeah. Come on, Star Trek films or anything like that, just to do some of that makeup. Those guys have to stay in there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. So Teg, I got to ask you something. Because while watching this movie, I was just waiting to see, okay, there's got to be a plot hole somewhere. There's got to be something that they didn't really explain. And for me, watching this film, I felt like everything was explained as best as they could.
Yeah. No, I'd agree. I mean, it was a little weird. The young version of him was a little naive and the like, but I was sitting there at the end, I was like, they are two different people, the young version versus the old version of him.
Well, that's because the older person becomes wiser as
well,
as
he wasn't teacher. Really wiser, he became an a-hole.
I think those two things go together.
Yeah.
The older you get, the more of an a-hole you are.
I know I'm going to be that. I'm going to be that person that's going to be sitting on my front steps and the kids are going to be across the street walking by and I'm going to be like, get off my property, you sons of bitches, but we're all there, son. Get off my property! Pull out a shotgun and run out after him.
So, the plot line is, with loopers, they're contracted to kill people from the future by the mafia. Mm-hmm. And the term looper is given to them because the final kill that they make before the contract is over is themselves. Hence, they steal the hoop or what was...
They steal the loop. So it goes back around in the end, and whoever's doing the kills doesn't get caught.
Right.
Whoever's sending them off.
So then for the next 30 years, they live their lives as best as they can.
And then they...
And if they're still alive...
They get killed.
They get sent back to kill thereby getting rid of all trace of evidence.
A question comes up, though. What happens if they die in a car accident? Will they never be able to send themselves back to uncontract that person from killing people?
What do you mean? Wait.
Causality loop.
Yeah. Well, if you got the next 30 years after you killed yourself, what happens if you died in the middle of that 30 years? You wouldn't be able to send somebody back. So, congratulations, you're working forever.
I just think of serious ripplage.
Yeah.
Effed up.
Because I was thinking of like the whole alternate timeline sort of setup, because they did show what happens to Joseph Gordon-Levitt after he kills Bruce Willis, and then the next 30 years happens, and why Bruce Willis goes back to try to stop everything.
Yeah, they showed different timelines, and he was quite upset about like his timeline being altered by himself, pretty much. He didn't have anybody to blame but him.
You'd have to be pretty pissed off, though, if you fucked up your future and past for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, that's some existential dread right there.
Because you start slowly seeing that happen, because then the older character, the character's name is Joe, the older version of Joe is now starting to remember stuff from the younger version of Joe that wasn't during the first
Oh, so there's like seepage? Yeah.
Yes, seepage.
Oh, nice.
So, like, his memories are foggy and the like until it actually happens. So shortly after the younger version of himself does something, he'll remember it, like, 2 or 3 minutes later.
All right, so I have a question. Like, the way people were talking about it initially is I was assuming it was going to be a cerebral film, like, what was that one, The Project or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw the trailer for it, and it seemed like it was, like, action movie Bruce Willis. What did you guys, did they have a good balance of those two things? Those two elements?
I would say yes. They had a very good balance of both. It's not like action packed from start to finish, but there's a lot of smart things happening. Yes, question, blew on.
I got a question. Anyways, okay, so with watching the trailer, what's that whole part where everything starts floating? And how can that girl do that thing with a lighter?
Okay, so there is a weird mutation that happens.
I don't want to hear it.
No, they explain it in the beginning. They explain it in the beginning of the movie, so it's not really a spoiler.
Okay.
So 30 years into the future, there's a weird genetic mutation where people
become X-Men. Holy shit!
Well, they become telekinetic, but the majority of the people who get it, the best they can do is like
lift a quarter.
Yeah, lift a quarter.
That's a joke. It's like trying to turn on girls by making a quarter levitate. So.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So there's that happening.
So somebody had a fixation about the whole concept of being an illusionist. What an asshole.
Well, no, it's TK, telekinesis is basically what...
No, but I'm just saying, like, in that sense, like, for them to do the movie, they're going to have to do some kind of illusion and effect just to make them do a quarter off a freaking table or something.
It was actually pretty cool how they did that. I mean, you can even see when they're driving around, the guy doing the stupid quarter trick. The quarter's like shaking as the car is going over bumps or on the road.
All right, I'll give it to him now.
They did a really good job with that. Now, how much more can we spoil this movie without having to spoil too much about it?
How much can you spoil it without spoiling it?
Yes.
How much can we talk about without killing the whole premise of the movie?
Right.
I mean, is enough that you just said, is that enough as is? Or is there...
Well...
If you step one step further, is that going to, like, give it away?
Well, maybe we could just mention there's a character from the future who's taking control. I don't know if he takes control of the country or just the state of California. They only know him as the Rainmaker, and he's the one who came up with the idea for the loopers.
He's the one who controls everything. He's basically the big mob thing, and it's Bruce Willis says, how do I find this guy and put an end and get my life back, and all that lovely stuff. And there's another guy who's controlling the city in the past, but they sent him from the future just to sit around, and like he's the head honcho.
Yep, Jeff Daniels' character.
Yep. And it's hard not to like go more in depth into the characters without ruining it.
Well, basically, I just want to say that I'm so glad that there's finally a movie out there that's original. It's not based off of a movie. It's a premise that no one has ever done before.
Well, I mean, look at Inception. That was pretty impressive.
I would compare it to Inception, where You gotta sit there from start to finish. You can't walk into this movie 5 minutes in, because then you're gonna miss something extremely important. You can't go to the toilet to take a shit halfway through the film, because you're gonna come back and you're gonna miss something very important.
Alright, Kenny, so what you're basically in for is a long haul. How long is this movie?
2 hours.
Okay, so you're in for the long haul. Don't bring your freaking kids, otherwise I will kill them.
I think it's kind of impressive recently. There's been, there's plenty of crap movies, there's plenty of sequels, but there's also been just a lot of things that are, you know, taking movies in a new direction. I mean, some of them are not as effective as others, but, like, thinking of this and then Cloud Atlas, which is coming out soon, like, there's some weird shit going on.
Yeah, we saw the trailer for Cloud Atlas. I'm not 100% sure what to think of this movie, because it's one of those films that looks like you gotta watch it, like, 4 or 5 times.
Whoa, hold on, Nick. Cloud Atlas? When the hell that? What's that?
It's a new Wachowski Brothers movie.
Oh, God.
Wachowski Starship.
Yes. No, let me
correct that. That's what they call them.
Let me correct that. Wachowskis, because one of the brothers isn't a brother anymore.
I said, there's like, this what? Looks interesting from the makers of The Matrix. It's like, that is not a plus anymore.
Yeah. Well, the book was amazing, though. I don't know. It could be really crazy. Did you guys ever see The Fountain? That movie, The Fountain?
No.
Wait. Just remind me a little bit more about that. I might have seen it. Hold on.
It's like it's like set in three different
Hugh
time
Jackman's
periods.
In it.
Yeah,
oh,
Hugh Jackman.
That's that one where it's about that he kind of goes in and out of like the reality aspect. He's like at the Tree of Life or something like that. And is that the one I'm thinking about?
Yeah, it's like 3,000 years in the future, and then in the present, and then like 2,000 years in the past.
That movie was done very well. I mean. Was that the?
Are they supposed
her name
to
had
jump
cancer
times?
In her head too, or something like that?
Yeah,
she had a tumor in her head, and she like when she was sitting in the bathtub, the water was boiling hot or something like that, and she still couldn't feel it. Or something. Yeah, I think I know that one you're talking about.
So Cloud Atlas is similar in that regard, that there's like characters that kind of like span like thousands of years. So I think it could just be terrible. But
yeah,
it could be amazing.
It is
too.
The Wachowski brother.
Exactly.
Wachowski's. Larry is now Lana.
Lana? Why Lana?
You'd put two and two together.
Gay marriage?
What?
No.
She's transgender.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you for not friggin' just saying transgender. Why was that a big deal? We have transgendered friends. What is the problem with that? Don't make me call them their kids.
I figured when I say Larry is now Lana, that would have went bing.
Lana does not acknowledge as a female word, like for me right there and then. Nope, no, it didn't. It didn't register. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But you got to figure that one out next time.
All right. Anyway, going back to Looper, like I said, I didn't see any plot holes to this film. It went very the movie from start to finish felt. It went by very quickly, in a good way. It was a very good movie.
You didn't want to fall asleep or something like that?
No.
Like I did almost in the other movie.
Which other movie was that?
The remake there.
Total Recall.
Yeah, that one I almost fell asleep.
That was terrible.
It was kind of bad, but I mean, it had Bryan Cranston in it, and I thought it was going to be epic, but they just like downplayed his character so much.
I watched the original Total Recall right after watching it, and it was like... It was like this refreshing Arnold Schwarzenegger-ness. I don't even know how to describe it.
I don't know.
It's like, let's crack open a can of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hold on here.
Well, but like, when in the history of the universe would you be like, oh man, I really remember those times where Arnold Schwarzenegger acted. I remember those times so fondly.
Dude, remember when he was in that movie Running Man? That was a good movie.
That was awesome. All those cheesy ass 90s like dystopian science fiction future movies were fantastic.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, but seeing that like Hollywood's getting that point where they're running out of ideas, they have to go and remake stuff. I mean, that it's basically what Hollywood does all the time. Like they have movies that they've remade like about 3 or 4 times now that was done in like the early 1900s, and you're like, wow, you guys suck because you just keep on throwing in like some new end actors and go, here, let's see your rendition of this movie, and then let's see how much your career is going to suck afterwards.
I mean, look, they're even quicker to remakes. They made that movie No Strings Attached, and then a few months later, they made Friends with Benefits. Two of the exact same movies.
Almost the exact same friggin' movie.
Funny thing is, both of them starring female leads from Black Swan.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you gotta look at it this way. There's one with Ashton Kutcher and then the other one with Justin Timberlake. Now, Timberlake, he didn't have to take that role. Timberlake is, he's a great actor altogether, and he's done, I can't say respectable music, but in suck, but I mean, just all the other stuff he's done,
Saturday
he's done,
Night
he's done like yes. Saturday Night Live. He's got like that, you know, that thing where he's able to turn a flip a switch and stuff like that, and being like the movies, like he was in Bad Teacher. I have to say that role is pretty good considering. Yeah.
And he just revamped MySpace too.
Yeah, the reboot. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where when Justin Timberlake pops up in the movie, especially like when I saw him in Southland Tales. That was kind of an interesting like aspect that he was able to put into that movie.
Did you guys like that movie? I love that movie.
I love that movie. I own that movie. I don't think
I've met a single other person that said that.
Really? Because I found that movie. I know that I got to read the books. I haven't gotten a chance to, but there's like four books before the actual movie. So that's when the movie kind of like. The movie brings it to the head part of like the actual aspect of what's going on. Yeah. But I can understand and relate to it because of the crap of seeing like how the politics were going at the time.
Yeah, totally. Well, I loved Dwayne The Rock and how awesome was
yes.
he?
Yeah, Dwayne Johnson was amazing in that, especially with his little multi-personality disorder that he had and how he acted in that sense, but I mean, he's another one of those actors that you didn't expect because, oh, I'm a wrestler, you know, to come in and be like, here we go, let's take care of this thing. And you're like, okay, well, he's good at acting too, son of a bitch.
Yeah, you gotta respect that. It's really impressive.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he always wanted to be an actor too. I heard an interview and he said that wrestling was never his primary goal. Acting was actually what he wanted.
He just had the muscles at the time to do that.
Yes, well, and the family.
That was his entry job.
Yeah. What do you mean by he had the family?
Rocky Johnson, Peter Maivia, his grandfather and his father were pro wrestlers.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Wow, never knew that?
Well, I don't follow wrestling at all, so I have no idea.
That's understandable. All right, so...
That's hilarious that he just like, whoops, I'm now the most super famous wrestler ever.
I'm the people's champions, and yeah, that's not your option.
So, Teg, how would we rate Looper?
I liked it. Are we doing a 1 out of 5 scale? Because it's like 4.8. It was a great. I knew one of the best time travel movies in a long time.
Agreed.
Well, especially seeing that you played that you had that game. Did that finally come out? That one that had like the whole aspect of like time.
Oh, the RTS one. Yeah, and it confuses the hell out of me.
So which one are you talking about?
Yeah, I would have to also give it a 4.8. At last, finally, an original movie from Hollywood. I guess we're going to have to wait another 10 years for something original to come out of there again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next.
So let's move on to video games. And before we go into our thoughts on some of the demos that have come out the past couple of weeks, James, I understand you have a video game that you have been helping out with.
Yes, indeed. My day job is I do video game music production and design and sound design and stuff like that. So I've got a number of big titles that are coming out, but one just came out a couple of days ago for the iPad, and it's called Liquid Sketch, and it's a puzzle platformer by this guy. He's from Sweden, and his name is Tobias Newcomb, and he's a mathematician. So this game is really cool because the entire game is designed around his new fluid. Was it like fluid modeling algorithm? It's a completely new fluid modeling algorithm. No one's ever used it before. He developed it specifically to make this game. And it's amazing. You can like, the water has weight, it has depth, it has like, you can like, it has physics, like you can put pressure on the water and it'll do different things. It behaves just like water in your iPad. It's crazy. So I did the soundtrack for it and it's all kind of like this background, like chilled out Zen music for you to play in water with. But yeah, that's if you go to liquidsketch.com or if you just go to on the App Store, look for Liquid Sketch. And I think I'm going to be giving out some promo codes to Evan probably after the show or something like that, and so we can get you guys with some iPads.
Now.
Right now, if you guys want me to read off like XK34.
Yeah, I'll show you later.
Oh.
So one of the first games I wanted to talk about and is Double Dragon Neon. And I understand, James, that you know the person who did the music for this game.
Yeah, Jake Kaufman, a.k.a. Vert. He's actually also performing at MAGFest on the same stage, so we're going to be rocking out.
I was actually rocking out to this soundtrack. I have it on my iPod. They you can download it for free on his Bandcamp, and it's very catchy.
Oh, it's awesome. He does a lot of that stuff where it's all, like, this may be a lame term, but it's all, like, sound font stuff from the, like, that the cheesy. It doesn't sound like a rock guitar. It doesn't really sound like a slap bass, but it also kind of does. You know what I'm talking about?
It sounds like the most stereotypical 80s album ever.
You know what? It's a piano guitar.
It's a guitar.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the same thing.
But they made this... The guys over at WayForward, who have had quite a good resume, they did the Shantae game, they did this Hotel Transylvania game for the 3DS, which has been getting some good reviews, and they did a few other titles, and this is them remaking the classic Double Dragon beat-em-up. Now, did you used to play the original version way back in the day?
Talk to me? Hell yeah, I did. Yes. I love that game.
And what I like about this game is it just takes the whole 1980s and, again, it stereotypes the living shit out of it. Everything is in neon. The dialogue in the game is, like, the most... It reminds me of the old Ninja Turtles cartoon when everyone was, like, saying tubular and radical dude.
Cowabunga!
You mean the best of times, right?
Yes. It was the best of times.
The
but
best
it was the
of,
worst
times.
Of times. And cocaine.
Those things go together.
Oh yeah, that 80s and cocaine go together just like Rick James.
And cocaine.
Yeah. I gotta ask, what is up with Skullmageddon's voice in this video game? He sounds like the biggest dweeb on the planet.
Well, wasn't that kind of the classic, like, Skeletor and all of those 80s cartoons are like
Yeah, I am Skeletor. I am going to steal He-Man's sword.
Meh, I talk like this because my balls got crushed in gym so many times. Oh, God.
Have you guys played through Double Dragon Neon?
I played through the first two levels, and so has Blonic here.
I was kind of like, I kind of got to the point where I was like, well, if I really wanted to get this in, like, kind of like a third-person 3D action setup, I could just go play some Grand Theft Auto, go down to the beach, just like my boss does at work. He loves going onto Grand Theft Auto, just go down to the beach and just wailing some hookers with golf clubs. So, the only thing about this one, there's no golf clubs involved, you're just going to deal with baseball bats. So, more or less, they're not hookers, they're dominatrix hookers. So
which I don't remember from the original game.
I don't remember it all, and there was a lot
Wait, with the whips? You guys remember the dominatrixes with the whips?
Not really. I know that there was a lot of cleavage, but besides that, no, I can't really recall.
And I like seeing Abobo in this game, because I don't know if you played the game Abobo's Big Adventure.
I haven't, no.
It's a free download, but it basically takes everything from 8-bit. It looks like an old 8-bit video game. It takes everything from that generation and puts it into one video game. And it's pretty hilarious. Like, one level will be like Double Dragon, another level will be like the underwater levels in Super Mario Brothers, another level will look like Legend of Zelda, another level will look like Balloon Fight.
I thought that was like...
That sounds pretty rad.
Remember Eat Lead?
Eat Lead, the Battle of Matt Hazard?
Yeah, Matt Hazard. That one was pretty classic because it went through that whole kind of thing of like him being a superstar back in the 8-bit phase up to now where he's not as cool.
But I like how in this video game where you got the classic like combo moves and the beat-em-ups, and I like how when your character dies, or when your character dies, the other character come and revive them in the style of...
Sticking a pencil in a tape.
Yes.
Cassette tape. Okay, everybody, cassette tape. Stick with me. It's back in the day where you actually had to rewind and fast forward to get to the songs you wanted to. Or otherwise, if you get to the end of it, you have to flip it over just to listen to the other songs. Okay, kiddies? All right, back to the actual
podcast.
It's crazy,
man. It's crazy.
I know your head's just exploding right now because of that.
And I don't know why either, but the movie Purple Rain comes to mind, too, while I'm playing this film.
Oh, hell yeah. It's great.
Prince, aren't you now, huh?
Come on.
Formerly known as Prince. Sorry.
No, he's back to known as Prince.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the memo. All
right, so this is a little bit of a tangent, but are you guys Prince fans at all?
I had a phase. I had a phase.
Because I feel like Boston freaking loves Prince.
So it's kind of like how Jeremy likes David Hasselhoff. So that's bad.
But playing this game, it really brought me back to how it used to be, only looking better. Like, I don't know how to truly explain it.
Okay, I can explain it.
All right.
Okay, so back when you're playing, like, the side-scrollers, I mean, look at The Simpsons, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the old original Powers Rangers game, all the other setup is you'd be able to see, like, the contrasts and stuff like that. You'd be able to see the crappy little, like, lines around them and whatnot. This one smoothed out the edges, and it made it more 3D pop out to you and made the colors more vibrant and everything like that. So I can give it to them on that factor of the game.
Okay, but what can't you give it to them for?
Everything else.
No, everything else. It's kind of just like, it kind of got to that point where, like, back in the day, it was like, oh my god, this is so cool. How could they make this any better? Seeing that I used to play, like, Atari, and you're like, if you're playing basketball and there was a stick figure and all you hear is doo 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 doo, and it was the closest thing to making a basketball sound, but it made it sound like they're breaking glass. But to this, to like where they're like Double Dragon, and you know, they were actually, you know, doing actual fighting moves and stuff like that, it was like, great, fantastic. And now we've gotten to that point where they kind of took a step back, but they like just polished it a little bit more, but also kind of added a few more things to the game to what originally it is. It's kind of like, I need something new right now. I can't really, like, I don't want to step back right now about that. I mean, a lot of other people like the nostalgia aspect.
Yeah, which I do. I like it.
I love going back to nostalgia. But right now, I've been so overwhelmed with that. Like, there's been a lot of games that have, like, been remade or brought back. Or, like, I had the Mortal Kombat series got, you know, that had the Mortal Kombat 1 through 3,
yeah,
where they got put in that arcade setup. I can't believe how pissed off I get every time I play the first one.
Yeah, because me too.
If you try to put on easy, you get your ass handed to you every time. But, like, then, like, if you go and, like, I started playing the newer Mortal Kombat, I don't even want to think about that, the old arcade setup anymore, because of, like, I'm like, yay, they actually did it proper. There's blood splatter everywhere. Not this stupid little, like, when you're hitting the guy, there's little blood spray and that's it, so more or less it's just one of those things of trying to take a step back to the old times. I don't really want to right now.
Yeah, so
it has to add something else. I mean, it can't just be like, oh, it's Double Dragon again. Like, they have to bring it. I mean, I know they kind of went, like, if you guys get further into the game, you like go into a space station and like shit gets kind of crazy, but at the same time you're just like, okay, it's the same game mechanic over and over and over again.
Dude, they went into a Chinese food restaurant and shot off like a rocket. I was like, okay, right.
Again, lots and lots of cocaine.
Yeah. Well, have you guys read like much of the reviews for it?
I mean, it's pretty much like,
oh, the soundtrack is way cool, and haha, it's the 80s, but that's it.
No, the soundtrack was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I can say that, and it was really cool that you were able to kind of switch around the music and set it up the way you wanted to. But it's one of those things where... Yeah, I'm still kind of like, I think we got out of that phase because we were like, then we hit the 90s and everything started going to the way it was instead of trying to live in the 80s. But And then now it's, now we don't even know where the frig we are. I don't know where the hell we are. Do you know where the hell we are now?
Sequel land.
Yeah,
sequel land. Yeah,
that's basically what it is. I mean, hell, I was listening to the radio today and they're just like, It's the 90s weekend, and I'm like, oh god, oh no, oh okay, I'm good. Let's switch the channel.
Yeah,
I've heard like, you know, Nirvana like 5 million times by now. Thank you.
It's kind of annoying. I agree.
Yeah,
they keep trying to push it on you too.
Yes.
Like, yeah, he's dead. He died. He died for your sins. It's like, no, he didn't. He killed himself.
It's like, oh, here's music from the 90s, such a long time ago. You're old! You're old! How should we rate this game so far? James, if you were to give it between a 0 and a 5, because it sounds like you played the full version of it.
Oh, you guys just played the demo? I mean, there's...
I bought the full version of it, but I've only been able to get to the first two levels because Skull and Ganon keeps killing me.
I would give it... I mean...
I'm pretty harsh on these. I would give it like a 3.5 or 4, maybe, if we're going to 5, right?
Yes.
Going to 5. Yeah, I'd give it like a 3.5. Like, you know, if you're getting it for cheap, it's fun for like an afternoon or two. I wouldn't like invest a lot of time into it, though.
Yeah, how much is it on the
$10.
Oh, man, that's a bit rough.
Yeah.
Well, think about it.
Wait, how many official Xbox Live points? Like 800?
800.
Okay.
But think about it this way. Back when we were younger, with the original Double Dragon, that cartridge costed what? $60, $70?
Yeah, definitely. I never bought... Did you guys buy new games? I just bought stuff at the used stores.
Yeah, I buy
games. I've been just going to Amazon and looking for used games and stuff like that, as long as it's not one that you have to buy the friggin'... That's where they're getting you now.
Yeah.
When you buy a game, you have to buy the code so you can play on the online for your separate thing, and that's like another $10.
No, I agree if it's used, because none of that money's going to publishers. All of it's going to, like, GameStop.
Yeah.
And you know how GameStop is. They're like, oh, let's sell the used ones more than the other ones. Screw the publishers. Who cares if anything?
No, you're right. You're right. I feel guilty about that now that you're talking about it.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Yeah, I think I could give it a 4 so far. I'm hoping maybe I could beat it and write a full review of it. But I'm enjoying myself. I feel like this is really capturing how the old Double Dragon used to be, only it's got like a fresh coat of paint over it.
Yeah, well, that's why my problem is that I can still smell the paint. So I'm going to give it a 2.8.
Are you high over the
paint? Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 2.8 more or less because, I mean, yes, okay, it brings me back to the times, but it also brings me back to that shitty movie they made for it. And yeah, I don't need to relive that shitty movie anymore. It's almost like a Super Mario movie, because at least John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins was okay. But after that,
the pieces of the medallion.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. It hurts. It really hurts.
Yeah. So Teg,
one
of the games that you recently purchased was one that we got to go hands on with at PAX East, Borderlands 2.
Yep.
Now, how much wub wub is in this game?
A lot. A little stupid robot runs around singing his new Wub Wub song, so there's plenty of Wub Wub in that.
So Claptrap is back?
The new Claptrap isn't as good as the old one.
Oh.
Did you guys like the old Claptrap?
The new Claptrap is like a condescending a-hole who calls you minion for the first half of the game, and it gets annoying after a little while.
Did you ever see the trailers for the regular Borderlands where they had Claptrap? And they were doing, like, the whole, you know, here on Border, making Borderlands and all that other stuff. Did you ever see that, James?
I didn't, no.
No? Oh, my God. I'm telling you, look it up, Claptrap on Borderlands and stuff like that. And there's, like, about, I want to say 3 or 4 of these trailers. Like, the third and fourth one, they're like, small and minuscule. They're just, you know, things. But the first one had me dying because of the guy. Steve. He goes... he's talking about it on the camera, and all of a sudden the boom mic keeps coming down and like touching him on the head, and he goes, "What the hell? What are you doing?" It's like, I'm trying to tell these people about all the whole setup here, and then he gets to the point where he gets so frustrated, he looks over at Steve, he goes, Steve, take care of this guy, and all you hear is, "Hi-ho!" And then you hear him blasting the guy in the background. So, yeah, you definitely have to watch that, because that's the old Claptrap. I haven't gotten to see the new Claptrap, more or less, but I feel disappointed now.
He is annoying. The game, it's slow to start, but it's an amazing game, but it's more of the same of the other, so if you're looking for something new that you didn't like the original, and you're not going to like this one. But if you love the original, this is more of that with all the issues fixed. The PC port, I was assured, is good. It is freaking amazing. It's one of the few games recently that has had the most... I have barely seen that many settings in a long time for a PC, so they at least did the PC justice. The graphics are amazing. It's a great game, especially to play with friends, so...
Yeah, I'm also I'm amazed at the amount of publicity I've seen for it. Like, you go anywhere and there's like some gigantic Borderlands 2 poster.
I was in Boston last night getting out of the Jack White concert, and there were just posters everywhere. On the subway.
Yeah, it's like there's buses that have it on there. Like, since when are video games? I mean, I guess actually since a long time ago, but.
But yeah. It's getting to the point where video games are being promoted more than the movies.
Yeah, well, they make more money. Like, more money is generated through video games than through movies and through music. It's crazy. It's huge. Colossal.
Yep. Even with the shitty economy as is.
Yeah, everyone wants to live in, you know, fantasy buy 1 million guns land and blow. Come on.
The only thing I had an issue with was their kind of like their not trailer, but like their live action of their game, the Borderlands. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah.
I didn't find that one as interesting. I felt it was kind of stupid.
The live action? What do you mean?
There was a live, like, they did a version, like Halo did it one time where they did a live action one where it was like, they could turn Halo into an actual movie. This one, they had people that were dressed up as the characters from the game running around shooting things and blowing things up. But
oh, in a trailer or something?
Yeah, a trailer or something like that, and it looked really stupid. I didn't
like it. I would think that. This didn't make any sense.
Oh, I've seen some great cosplay out there for it anyway, so there are some amazing setups that they've done, but that commercial was nothing
impressive.
It was a good representation of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a point of it. Maybe Borderlands shouldn't be made into a movie. Like, this is a good reason why it shouldn't be made into a movie.
Basically, if you want to watch Borderlands, just watch Priest. Except there's, like, vampires in that movie. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no.
It's basically a desolate land and stuff like that you have to deal with. But.
Now, what are your thoughts on the mission modes in this game? Like, the sort of things that they have you doing?
Oh, the quests and everything?
Yeah, the quests.
Like I said, it's the same as the old Borderlands. You're going to go collect a bunch of things here, kill a bunch of dudes over here. It's more spread out as you get later into the game, so like 3 or 4 hours in, I'm actually running around between zones and going through areas. It seems like it's less of what Firestone originally was. Okay, go to this area, you got 30 quests to do here, 30 things to do over there.
One of the places I saw you playing it was like in an Arctic tundra of sorts.
Yep, they definitely they randomized their levels a lot more, so... And you're going to be fighting in verdant areas and not just the normal desert area. The tundra is, you start out in a glacier in the game, half dead, and move on from there. You take a ship down to Sanctuary, which is one of the first towns in a long time. I'm sitting there, it's like, there are people here. Unlike the other, where it was locked and there's nobody around and it's desolate. You had a question?
Yeah, now the other thing I heard was about the ammo issue. I heard that if there's more players with you, there's less ammo to go around or something. Is that proper?
The one thing I think that has always been a huge issue with the Borderlands franchise is loot and ammo. It splits the ammo between you, but if a good gun drops, me and my friends are running around. It's like the first one to pick up the gun wins. Like they said, they don't focus now on what class uses what guns. It's kind of spread. So you're always going to be arguing over your build and which gun is better for yours. So loot takes a long time. Ammo isn't... There are ways around ammo. You can go and buy easy enough. You don't have to save up all your money and use the gambling thing in the town. But you can buy ammo. The Gunzerker is, which is great. The Berserker originally running around punching things in a game with guns and stats and all about shooting and stuff was ridiculous. So the Gunzerker has two guns he can wield. He also regenerates ammunition by default when he uses it. So that's a great little way. I'm playing that now in my single-player game. And if I run low on ammo, because, say, I'm using two assault rifles instead of an assault rifle and an SMG, if I'm not in combat, I'll use the special power while I'm running around town just to get more ammo and save myself money. So just like the original, there are class mods and the like to get around everything. You don't have to play the healer, although the healer is nice. But you can tell it's more focused on friends. There are bosses that you have to attack from behind. So when you're doing the single-player game, it's not as easy as it is with two people. And it seems like it's optimized for two people. Because when you play with four people, you're sitting there, it's like, I just shot this guy in the head about 12 times, and he's only at half health. Oh, but when you're with your friends, it's like one or two shots of the head, the person's down. And it just feels like it's made for two people. Four people, it's a little bit bullet spongy. So,
well, has it been that the whole campaign is like, chaos awaits, bring friends, or mayhem, or whatever.
When they tell you, have friends, it's like, they're giving you a tip. The game is best played with at least one other person. Playing it solo is definitely a different challenge. And it's still a great game, running around, grabbing loot, getting guns and the like, but... I would have liked to have seen, I hate the, you have one active skill. It's like, I run around, I deploy the turret as the soldier, basically, in this game. It would have been nice to see one or two more active skills that you could put points in and use. It's, they could have gone so much further with that system, and I wish they did. It would have been great to deploy two or three different types of turrets around the level. But instead, you're tacking rocket launchers onto your one turret and stuff, so it's still nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, how would you rate this game so far?
Out of 5? Yeah. I mean, it's 4.2, 4.3.
Okay.
The bullet sponginess would have been nice, and some innovation would have been nice. But you come back to, if they added something new, would the people who loved the first one turn around and go, I hate this new thing? So I see why they said, let's just improve on the old one and not add something brand new.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
So I'm still playing through it, and I'll be live streaming it off and on. I'm just testing out my video equipment, so.
Okay, very cool. So the final game on our list, Marvel Avengers Battle for Earth. This was an Xbox Kinect title, that demo that came out this past week. And in this demo, you get to play as both the Incredible Hulk and Thor as you battle out against, like, bizarro versions of Captain America and Magneto.
Huh.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about this.
I remember them talking about it here and there at E3.
Shit, James, I'm on the same page as you. As soon as I walked through the door, it's like, you want to try this game? And I was like, what?
What's this?
What?
I mean, it sounds cool. I'm watching the trailer right now.
Well, it's only come out for Xbox 360, and there's also a version coming out for Wii U. But yeah. I don't know how the controllers are going to work with the Wii U. I don't know if instead of you using the Kinect, you're going to use more of like the actual Wiimote and Nunchuck to do all the maneuvers, or if you're going to use the special screen to do whatever it is.
Yeah, so apparently from my figuring out of this game, there is no jumping, so I...
Yeah,
what?
There's no jumping.
No, there's no jumping. There's dodge by moving left and right. There's punching, there's kicking, there's rock smash.
There's some MMA stuff. I was happy about that.
There is some combo stuff, but there's no jumping.
Yeah, well, the one thing I have to say about the combo aspect is I was only able to do 15 hits. And I noticed that because there was two times I did it, and I only did 15 hits, and I was punching really, really fast. I don't know why, but they didn't get it right. I don't like that. I could have had like a 20 combo. It was bullshit.
What do you guys think of the graphics?
I think the graphics look pretty good. It really stays to the comic book style. A little bit of like the cel-shadedness, especially with the background.
I say they've done a little bit. Yeah, the background's fine, but like the actual characters, I feel like they made them overdone the graphic shading because like you know you can't really notice the definition between them and like the actual foreground. So they maybe like overdid it because it looks more cartoonish, like a cartoon setup.
Yeah.
I don't know, it scared me.
Maybe.
I don't understand it.
Now, I'm just looking at the trailer, so I may be totally off, but to me, it feels like it could have been made, like, 3 years ago. Like, you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
With that style?
Yeah. But...
they're going for nostalgia 3 years ago.
Yeah, I think so.
But I felt like the controls in there, they read your movements pretty well.
They did pretty well on the movement reading, except, like, when I was getting hit by something, you know, when it was like, dodge. I'm like, dodge, okay. Oh, crap, I gotta dodge again because he didn't throw it at the right time I thought he was throwing it at, so. Crap.
I felt like they did a pretty decent job. It feels like what this game...
The way they did this one, I think, is the way they should have done a Dragon Ball Z version for Kinect.
Right.
I feel like you could have been like, Hadouken, you know.
Well, they are coming out with Dragon Ball Z for Kinect next month.
Oh, God, they're probably going to ruin it.
I heard that. I remember watching it at E3, and like the people who were playing it just kept fucking up over and over and over again.
All right, you got to make sure you're going to do like the ancient, you know, Chinese symbols in the air while doing this. You know, it's like, no, I'm not going to be able to do that.
You actually have to do the real poses that the cartoon characters did.
So you have the Gotenks, you have to do the...
Yeah, you gotta do the fusion.
you gotta go and do the blonde hair wig, you know, you gotta put that on to make sure you go Super Saiyan. It's gotta read Super
Mullet.
Saiyanism.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like this style of game, is if they were to make a Street Fighter with Kinect,
this could possibly be the setup that they could go to because of the fact of Marvel versus, you know,
Capcom.
That I can kind of see where you're going with that. Mm-hmm. But yet, I don't know how much of a demographic that's going to get to because of the fact not everybody has a Kinect for their Xbox 360. Not everybody has the room in their... In the actual room that they held the TV.
I always have to take apart my nice little comfy chair, move it to another side of the room to play Kinect.
I mean, my setup...
There's only so far you can take a Kinect, too.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't travel well. It'd probably get damaged very easily. But, like, the setup that I have for my bomb shelter in my pool room, I almost have to back up, like, my TV's against, you know, the wall. And that room is about, I can't remember how long it is, but with the pool table in there, it kind of cuts the room, you know, in half. But to have, like, myself step back about almost 8 feet away from my TV just to play the Wrecketeers game, that was kind of, I was like, what the hell, really? Like, I have to be this far away from my TV? Most people don't even have still a proper, like, size TV. I mean, you're still dealing with people with, what, 25 to 34-inch TVs somewhere around there? Mm-hmm. So if you're not rocking a TV that's about over 40 inches, yeah, you bring out some, like, you know, magnifying glasses because you're not going to be able to see shit.
Yep.
That's weird. I always... The Kinect, it seems like it's possible. Like, you see the people who do the Kinect mods, and the things that they come up with are just incredible. But, like, seeing it actually implemented into games, I don't think I've played a game yet with it that I've really been like, this is a killer app. I gotta get this.
This is the final, yeah.
Nah. Not yet.
Yeah,
aren't they even giving... Like, I was at the Microsoft store that just opened up on Boylston Street. Have you guys been there yet? In, like, the Copley Square Prudential Mall?
No, I've heard that they opened up one down there.
It's pretty nice, but they're offering a deal right now where basically the Kinect comes free. And even then, people are just like, eh.
Yep. Well, there hasn't been a defining thing for it besides, say, dance games, so...
Yeah,
you need that defining game where everybody wants to play it, and it's just like a new console and the like. I mean, what game are we looking for that?
I mean,
gets everybody to throw that extra money down.
They tried it with Star Wars Kinect and failed miserably.
Oh, Star Wars
that
Kinect
was terrible.
They had a dancing game built into it. That's the only thing.
Disco dancing Han Solo.
Yeah, now you can run around and you can dance and look like an idiot with your friends. It's the next Rock Band.
But altogether, this Marvel's game, I am a little bit pissed off that the demo was wicked short for it. When a demo is short, it makes me worry that a game will isn't going to be that good. So that tends to make me think, all right, what's wrong with the title?
Yeah.
But for this demo, even though it was a little bit short, I had a little bit of fun with it. I can maybe give it a 3.7 out of 5.
Yeah, I definitely said I could have a little bit more fun with it if I get my hands on the full game. So I'm going to give it with kind of a... I'll say 3.4. I can give it maybe a positive 3.4 because I kind of wanted to get into it a little bit more to see where they're going with it. Is this going to be kind of like how like Mortal Kombat is, like, you know, with a fighting setup like that? Like, are we gonna be going through a whole tower, you know, kind of like of fighters, or are you gonna have to have two fighters each time so you can switch between the fighters, which was I thought was a pretty cool little setup.
Yeah, made me think of the old Marvel versus Capcom setup.
Yeah, so you tag somebody else in, they come in, you beat the crap out of them, and then you go back. So
yeah,
interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, I think that about wraps up this episode of the Boston Bass Brigade.
Yeah.
I would like to point out, like I said, I'm streaming Planetside 2. Actually, just went off of NDA, so I'm looking at maybe getting footage of that and actually building a YouTube channel at some point.
All right, and until then, you got a Twitch page for people to check out, correct?
Twitch.tv/Teg198 currently. I try to do streaming every now and then. I'm going to try to build a YouTube channel at some point to do that stuff too. I also have been playing Torchlight 2, or at least just have started it. If you're wondering what game I'm playing all the time while we're in the podcast, right now it's Torchlight 2. I'm looking to maybe get a review on that also.
I thought you were looking at porn.
Amazing graphics. It seems like a great Diablo mix. You run around with your little pet, and instead of returning to town and selling items and the like, you can give them your pet and tell them, hey, it's going to take you 3 minutes, go back, and my spider, cat, little chihuahua thing can go and sell my items for me.
Awesome.
So,
on that note, visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want to talk to us about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Blonic is under Blonic. And Tay,
I'm going to make a new one at some point.
All right.
Pro, totally pro.
Yeah.
We're also on Facebook. .com/BostonBastardBrigade, or otherwise just type it up in the search bar and you'll be able to find us. Next to that, I think, seeing that you said that Timberlake revamped MySpace, I might have to take a look at it. I don't know yet.
You're going back to the dark side.
Good luck with that.
Going to the dark side was the Facebook, so going back would probably not be so bad.
I don't know. It's more like the gray side. I think Google Chrome is the light side.
Oh, okay.
But nobody will move.
All right, James, this is where you get to promote the living shit out of anything you want to promote, so go on ahead.
Awesome. Well, you can find all of Bright Primate stuff at brightprimate.tk, or you can hit me up on Twitter or you know Facebook or whatever, just Bright Primate. Sometimes the I's are ones, sometimes they're not. Liquid Sketch, new game coming out with music by me. You can find it at liquidsketch.com or on the App Store or whatever, and I don't know, just hit me up online and say hi. I'm a nice guy.
Now,
he's a horrible guy. I met him in person. He punched me right in the face. No,
but you loved it. You loved it.
Yeah. You asked for it.
I liked it.
Now, James, are you going to be at the P-Lander Z and Electric Eelshock show in a couple weeks?
It's entirely possible. We have kind of a busy schedule doing music stuff and touring around. But if I can, I mean, I've met those guys before. They're awesome dudes, so
yep,
I'd love to.
Me too. Yeah, I'm good buddies with the Electric Eelshock people. I've met P. Lander Z before. And one of our new friends, Sam Mulligan, is actually opening up for them.
That's going to be great. I love Sam, and I think it's really good that he's doing what he's doing. I'm really proud of him.
Yeah, he's pretty funny at the Industrial College.
Yes. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
I'm all fat. I'm big bone. It's for you, Tay. I mean, Lloyd.
And I'm tagging yes, he's
fat. Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.